That was beautiful.
That was a great song. Great pick, Keith.
Great pick.
Awesome. All right, you've been listening to Diarrhea Disco on WMFO in Medford.
91.5 FM.
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one. Tune in next week.
For another what? Diarrhea Disco? Who knows who's going to be here?
I mean, I won't be here, actually.
Oh, so it's just me. And whoever I want.
Whoever you want.
Maybe it'll be Grace time.
No, I want to be with Grace.
Fine. God. I'll take someone else.
God.
Get someone else.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry. Don't you worry, guys.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Not anyway. A single word. Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, wait.
And have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Virginia. Rode a boy with a six gun in his hand, and his daring life of crime made him a legend in his time, east and west of the Rio Grande. Size took the teller by surprise, and the word spread of Billy the Kid. Well, he never traveled heavy, yes, he always rode alone, and he soon put many older guns to shame. And he never had a sweetheart, and he never had a home. Cowboy and the rancher knew his name. Well, he robbed his way from Utah to Oklahoma, and the law just could not seem to track him down. And it served his legend well, for the folks they loved to tell about when Billy the Kid came to town. It did. And the cowboys and their kin, like the sea, came pouring in to watch the hanging of Billy the Kid. Well, he never traveled heavy, yes, he always rode alone, and he soon put many older guns to shame. Underneath the Boot Hill grave that bears his name, from a town known as Oyster Bay, Long Island, rode a boy with a six-pack in his hand, and his daring life of crime made him a legend in his time, east and west of the Rio Grande.
All right, well, good morning, Medford. This is Max Landers, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. With me today, not much speaking is going to be done, but is Harrison Sweet, and he is a rower on the team, a good friend of mine, and we just brought him in today. and we're doing some homework. But do you want to say some words, Harrison, to the public?
Yeah. Well, first, thank you, Max, for having me here. It's always a pleasure to be in WMFO. And yeah, we've got a busy day of just trying to get some essays done, try to put some group projects together.
Brutal. Yeah.
Make sure everyone trying to find a time to meet with some of these group projects is really difficult. And so, pretty stressful. But I'm excited to listen to some music, get some good work done. I'm ready to go.
Let's do it. All right. That sounds good to me. I guess before we just put on some music, I mean, Harrison will probably curate a decent list of stuff that we can put on, but just some interesting news for today. The admission statistics for the Tufts submitting class. I have to do something academic, you know, on the show. That's what it's all about. So we'll do a little report on the admission from Tufts just because it's interesting. So Tufts admitted about 9.5% of students to the class of 2027. I think that is a decrease from last year, just slightly. And of course, they always say that this is the most diverse applicant pool. They love that. And it's the most selective.
How many people applied?
34,000 people applied. We had a 9.7% acceptance rate last year, down to 9.5%. I'm sure, you know, the admissions committee is happy about that. They want those numbers down. Tufts is a prestigious place. Let's make it more prestigious. That's what they say.
Do you think they'll have to build some more dorms or build some more mods to put some of the students
in? I mean, it's going to be a disaster with the number of kids we're going to be admitting at this point. I mean, there's a new dorm that's going to be coming down on the street on Boston Ave, you know, in a couple of years. But they really have been doing a very poor job about managing the number of students they're, you know, bringing into the school. And frankly, just I walk by the mods every day. I would say just going to class, and it's not very promising.
No,
it's very unfortunate, and I feel bad for the people who live there because, you know, a lot of them are paying upwards of $85,000 a year to go to this wonderful place, and yet they're living in a glorified trailer home. And I understand there's air conditioning. I guess it's a central location, sure, but. Yeah, for the amount of money that you're paying, you know, I think that I'm not going to say that the university should be at the beck and call of all the students, but given how much money we're paying, you know, a lot of people are paying, I think that there should be more accommodations with respect to housing. It looks like women comprise 56% of the admitted class. That's good for straight men, an increase from last year's 55%. Another 4% identified as genderqueer, non-binary. I don't know if that's an increase or not. You know, Tufts is a very, you know, genderqueer gay school, I'd say, so not out of the ordinary. Women also make up 52% of students accepted to the School of Engineering.
Wow.
So I didn't know that there was a majority women in the School of Engineering. That's an interesting insight.
That was one of the things we talked about in one of my classes is the proportion of men to women in, I think it's college graduates, has flipped.
Yeah,
so we've gone from a in like 13% difference between men and women, like in the 1990s, where men were 13% comprised 13% more of college graduates than women, and then now the gap is the same but with women
on top.
Mm-hmm. And I think this trend is only going to continue.
Super interesting. And did they in class, did they ever discuss like why that is, or is there a certain reason? Is it just, men do have a propensity to kind of pursue more blue collar kind of jobs. Yeah. Is that kind of the reasoning that they were going behind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely part of it. And like, they talked about theory of like sort of like loneliness and there's not as much help for like men in like high school and stuff like that. And there's a lot of things that are there to support women, which is amazing. And you can see it in the numbers. It's really helped. But a lot of those programs, either men aren't incentivized to go to, or they are sort of like restricted from going to. And then as you're saying, a lot of them just like don't see the benefit in college in general.
Sure.
And they go to like, just working like blue collar jobs or stuff like that. So
that makes sense to me. Yeah. Yeah. I think I read a couple articles about that, and I don't know, I can go into those later, but like, just, it's very interesting how, you know, college have become kind of a hub for, you know, for women, and also for the congregation of just intelligent people, which is, you know, kind of self, which is obvious, but it's interesting because it really has changed over the last, I'd say 50 years, just marriage patterns. And I guess this, I think it's really contributed to inequality, like income inequality in the United States, if you can believe it or not. And I think it's kind of ironic, you know, a school like Tufts is all about, and a universe, many universities in general are kind of about, at least a part of the identity is, let's bring up people who are, you know, downtrodden. Let's bring up people who are, who have traditionally come from marginalized backgrounds and bring them up, who have, you know, have low incomes. But in reality, what these institutions are doing is concentrating high income, you know, high intelligent in terms of intelligence people, and contributing to and perpetuating kind of inequality.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
That's one of the, like, and that's why a lot of people go to college, is because you get that huge bet, like huge bump. By like working with and being in an environment with a lot of like high income people. And it's crazy to look at the statistics of like people who go to college in the US. I think it's like 15% of the population. Like, I don't know the exact statistics, but it's very low. And so there's like the vast majority of America does not go to university, does not go to college. And so we get a very like skewed view of the world in this environment.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And that's like sort of like going to like the admissions rate at the universities. Like they're so low because none of the universities are expanding at all. They're keeping the same undergraduate classes. And, so the amount of like applicants goes up, but the amount of admitted students stays the same.
Yeah.
And so like, even if you want to try to get into college, it's
getting harder really and harder. Yeah, for sure. I think it's, it's interesting how I think we are surrounded by a very select portion of the United States population, a very, very small percentage of the United States population. And it's easy to feel like, you know, at a school like Tufts, oh, wow, like everyone goes to college, you know, everyone has this opportunity, it seems like, and especially in Boston, which is a pretty, you know, intellectual space, it's easy to feel that way. But, you know, if you go anywhere else, really, in the United States, in the Midwest, down south, you know, in Appalachia, that kind of sentiment is just not the same. And actually, there's some, believe it or not, I was in sociology class, and I heard, like, among some people, some groups in Appalachia and in rural America, there's like hostility to college.
Yeah.
And there's this idea that, you know, college is a place for, you know, radical leftism, which maybe it is to some extent, but radical political ideas, and just like this elite group of people who just don't care about the rural people at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting idea. Moving on, also, the Tufts admissions process remains test optional. Around 40% of students this year chose not to submit ACT or SAT scores with their application this year, which is actually a decrease from last year's 44%. Also a super interesting trend among elite colleges to kind of omit ACT and SAT scores. I personally did not take the SAT subject scores or subject exams, but I did take the ACT. And I don't really know how I feel about test optional, frankly. I think that a lot of it is... You know, you can make the argument, you know, it really does benefit high-income people at the end of the day to some extent, but and favors them. But, you know, I do believe that there should be some kind of standardization. I don't know. That's a big discussion for another time.
Yeah.
But another interesting statistic is students affiliated with QuestBridge. And for those who are not familiar with QuestBridge, it is a basically a scholarship program that connects low-income students, high-performing students with elite colleges. So QuestBridge... scholars comprise of 11% of the class.
Wow.
That's a pretty high percentage.
That's, yeah.
1 in 10. That's really crazy. And students who will be the first in their family to graduate also comprise, graduate from four-year college also comprise of 11%. So, you know, Tufts is obviously admitting, you know, they're doing a pretty decent job of admitting low-income students and also first-gen students for those who, you know, really believe in that. Let's see. Public high schools and charter schools, 55% in the class. It really doesn't feel like that, though.
No.
You know, it feels like everybody I meet on campus is from a private school. Everyone who of students from schools where class rank is measured, 91% are in the top 10%, to be expected. Here's some interesting statistics. Students of color account for 57% of the admitted class, up from last year's 56. Okay, we got that extra 1%. I'm so glad. Black students comprise 12% of the class. Okay, Hispanic and Latinx students, 14. Asian American students, 21. And multiracial students, 11%. White students make up 39% of the class, and 3% did not provide any information at all. It does feel like Tufts is a pretty white school, 39%. It feels almost like 75%. Yeah. It's really interesting, when you're walking around. We can go into a whole discussion about affirmative action. It's going to be very interesting to see how those statistics change if affirmative action is abolished. And I guess I'm excited to see when that's coming out, but I'm anticipating and anxious kind of for that Supreme Court decision. Because if it does go the way that the court is kind of structured, we'll put it that way right now, it will potentially really, really change the way college admissions is really done.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of people say affirmative action, it's hard to, like, kind of put your finger on that because we don't know what's going on in these admissions offices. We don't know how much weight is put on a certain, a person's race. But nevertheless, I do think that it does make a significant difference in changing the student body of the school, which I think is for the better.
Yeah. So affirmative action is like using people's race, like taking that into account when admitting students.
Correct. Yeah. I agree with a lot of it and I disagree. I would say I'm pretty 50-50 split on affirmative action as it stands today. I think like it's great to have diversity. I think that, you should be able to walk around campus and see people from all different backgrounds. But on the flip side of that, it's like, what percentage of people that I interact with are actually from those backgrounds? Put it that way. Like as a, Asian white, and I've talked about this before on the show, but as an Asian white individual, kind of on a really white, sports team and, doing a major that's traditionally that's overwhelmingly white people, it's really hard to like feel the tangible effects of like diversity on campus. Like I rarely interact with students of color, at all. So that's like an important consideration. I mean, like you can like look around again, it's like the dining hall test. You go to the dining hall and you see that the white people are sitting with white people, the Asian people are sitting with the Asians, the black people are sitting with the black people. And that's just kind of, I would say, true across the board.
Mm-hmm.
At a lot of these schools. So, it's great to have diversity on campus. I think that I'll put it this way, I'd much rather have diversity on campus than no diversity on campus. It keeps things interesting. It gives us, the opportunity to connect with people different than us, which is super important, very, very important when you're in college. But it's just really hard to kind of feel that you're connected into that and plugged into that.
Yeah, exactly.
95 students have Native or Indigenous heritage, including 62 American Indian or Alaskan students and 33 Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander students. 33 Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. That's pretty amazing, actually. I mean, I know one person from Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and that's about it. So great that they're coming over from across the pond. 96 students come from the Medford, Somerville, Boston, and Grafton host communities. And international students comprise of 11% of students. We got to bring in that money.
Yeah.
A lot of that international student money, let me tell you. Tufts needs it. We've seen just lots of people walking around campus lately, just with their parents. I've seen a lot of it happen. Mm-hmm. Touring the school,
the big tents,
mm-hmm.
For the admitted students day and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, super interesting statistics. Today, I think we'll just wrap it up with that. I know I would love to talk more, but work is calling my name, which is just really unfortunate. But for everybody who listened today, really appreciate your time. We're going to have a great next 30 minutes with some music curated by wonderful Harrison here. And we're just going to get on that grind, So let's do it. Well, thanks for joining us today. Take care, all. This is Max, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Bedford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'll sign off at the end. Have a great day. Take care.
Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope. All night long, I dream of the day when it comes around and it's taken away. Leaves me with the feeling.
ghost. Satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope. All night long, I dream of the day when it comes around and it's taken away. Leaves me with the feeling that I feel the most. Feel it come to life when I see your ghost. Then I'm done, done, on to the next one, done, done, and I'm on to the next one, done, done, and I'm on to the next one, done, done, and I'm on to the next one, done.
You buried deep. Thank you. Oh. La 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 la. the cheat like a white on rice. Hell on the water like a saved soul. Four cars speeding to the same crossroads. I'm blown away like four winds. Got no money and I got no friends. Going downhill and I'm stone cold. Four cars speeding to the same crossroads. Time to see what's behind the wheel. Call it whatever he can steal. Breaking heartbreak wherever he goes. Four cars speeding to the same crossroads. Four cats chasing the same four possum. Brother to brother is long forgotten. Four cars speeding to the same crossroads. I meet my maker every day. When I bow down my head to pray.